I know you.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Film Chat. This is a series on the Waveframe podcast where we talk about movies, a little bit about music, and we work together. My name is Isaac.
And I'm Brian.
And today we are talking about Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is the TV show, not the 2005 movie, and not the 1960s, I think, movie that came out a long time ago. Yeah.
Probably.
It's crazy.
So we're not talking about movies or music
today. Yes, we're talking about
TV shows. Despite the introduction.
Yes, exactly. but yeah, we make our own rules here. And that's right.
It's no rules.
There are no rules. And we also tried to watch other movies in an attempt to not talk about a TV show. We watched The Art of Self-Defense.
Yep.
Which I kind of liked, but I don't think I need to see it again.
Yeah. It was fine.
If you watch Wes Anderson movies and think to yourself, this could be more deadpan and a little bit more in the world of toxic masculinity, then check out The Art of Self-Defense.
Yes. If you watch Wes Anderson and think, I want more blood and Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you might like it. Also, Jesse Eisenberg, you got to respect the guy for choosing really interesting projects to be in.
Yes. Yeah. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
And I don't think I like him. And those can both be true.
Yeah, those can both be true. There's supposedly a movie, like How to Destroy the World or something, with that Finn Wolfhard Stranger Things kid, where it was Jesse Eisenberg's directorial debut.
Okay.
And one of my favorite YouTubers, Dan Merle, he's great, he's awesome. That was his least favorite movie of Sundance one year. And then this year, one of his favorite movies was Jesse Eisenberg's second movie that he directed.
Interesting.
Which is very interesting.
All right.
And
most,
also,
most improved.
Yes. Yeah. PR.
Way to go, Jesse.
Personal record. Yeah. Yeah. And also, there's a movie called Sasquatch Sunset that I just watched a trailer for, where Jesse Eisenberg stars as one of the family members of a Sasquatch family out in the woods.
Oh, God. Okay.
So it looks a little bit like Planet of the Apes, but Sasquatch.
That's. I got a lot of questions.
Yep. But and I don't have any answers. So, yeah. Anyway,
good.
Before we get into Mr. and Mrs. Smith, quickly, because we don't have a ton of time today, anything you're grateful for?
Yeah. Well, it's my birthday.
Yeah. So happy birthday.
I don't know what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful people have remembered and are celebrating. It's great. You know, it's good. And
people have acknowledged your existence.
Yes. On this one day. I've been calling it Convergence Day.
Yes. Excellent.
Because it's Valentine's Day, my birthday, Ash Wednesday. And I don't know if this is a new thing or if I'm just behind, but people have been calling it my Jesus year.
Oh.
Because I'm 33.
Yeah.
So I feel like.
Very apt.
Yes, the combination of birth and to dust you shall return and romantic affection and Christ is just a frothy mix that has got me reflecting on a lot of things. My journal entry was a good time today. It's really fun.
I love frothy as a
descriptor. It's a frothy mix of days.
Oh, man.
Has
That's
me feeling a
excellent.
Little... I feel weird in a good way to.
Yeah, so. I can totally believe that.
Yeah,
I was attending a Catholic Ash Wednesday service today.
Whoa!
And the guy was doing a good job, but as he was going around, he was saying, like, something along the lines of, "Follow the gospel and avoid sin, and from dust you." Started and from dust you shall return.
Yeah,
whatever that phrase is.
Oh, and there's dust in the wind.
Something like that.
They should play that.
Yes.
On Ash Wednesday. Yeah.
But then after a little bit of kind of contemplative thinking, my grandma leaned over to me and said, "How long do you think it takes for people to turn into dust?" And I was like, I don't know.
Are they years?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, pretty quick if that's what you want.
So that was a highlight of my day. I love the unfiltered thoughts from anyone, but especially from her.
Yeah. That's good. Uh-huh. I like a little irreverence.
Yes.
In my church going.
But for me, I think I'm just simply grateful for some sunshine today.
Yeah.
In an attempt to get some sun in my eyes in the morning, I am now walking with a friend every Wednesday morning.
Woo!
And it was our first time doing it today.
Nice.
And we'll hear more from him later because he has thoughts on Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And so, actually, that might be a good segue. I want to share with the podcast, his name is, and I might edit this out later, His name is Blake Stott, but I think he'll be fine with me telling everybody his name.
I'm gonna say it a bunch, so you have to really comb through.
Great.
To edit his name up.
Great.
So these are Blake Stott's.
Yes, his thoughts. Yes.
Stott's thoughts.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Which could be a reoccurring segment.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
I like that, but he never comes on the show.
Yes.
He only texts us his thoughts.
Yes. He'll never come on this
yeah.
series.
I want a jingle. Stott's.
Sometimes, okay, the context of what I'm about to say right now, I wanted some people's thoughts because sometimes I feel a little bit insecure about how I just love things. I just don't have that many critical thoughts on media unless it's overtly bad or something that I have a vendetta against. A lot of times I watch things and I'm like, this is really great and this is why.
Yeah.
And that's my comfort zone. So on this walk this morning, I was talking to Blake Stott about
his thoughts about Stott's
thoughts.
Right.
And I would love to create a little jingle for that. Yeah. And he was like, "Okay, so you liked the show, but I didn't love it." And I was like, "Why?" Because that's really interesting. So I'm gonna do no editing of his thoughts right here.
Good.
These are his words.
These are Stott's thoughts.
Yes. Yeah. I think my main critique of the show, or mainly annoyance for me, was how throughout the show it presents both Jane and John finding incompatibilities during their relationship, and both had issues with the other that needed to be resolved before moving forward. But I found Jane's issues to be deep-rooted core communication and philosophy issues that actually built conflicts in the relationship. Where John's primarily felt like whiny, in parentheses, maybe the show was subliminally hinting at modern day masculinity culture, or insecurity issues that he had with himself that he projected and took out on Jane. Emphasized in the therapy episode and the truth serum sequence working to resolve the tension, the show, to me, acted like both issues were equally weighed, which I agree in that they both needed to be heard, but Jane's issues were more so based in reality and John not understanding how to be supportive, and John's were issues that he was actively creating and then ignoring. Examples of John's would be, which I'm really glad he added examples because that helps me, frustrated Jane didn't want to have kids with him, although he did not view her wants as important, and also didn't recognize the gravity of their work with kids, complaining to Jane about blowing up his house, which he did not tell her about, though she did it to save their lives, borderline completely compromising their contracts with the agency and their identities by contacting his mom and telling her about Jane without telling Jane, putting her at liability to the agency, and many more things while Jane's frustrations were with him lying about reading books, so lying in general, who he's communicating with, and emotional infidelity. That is genuine concerns that existentially threatens the relationship. And he said, "I gave you a small essay. I don't know how to sum up in a quote. Conciseness is not my strength. I won't feel bad if you trim/exclude altogether." But I'll just say what he said in summary, from my perspective, the show wants us to take both John and Jane seriously. While this is what we should do in relationships, I could not help but feel frustrated that the show's portrayal of each person's issues felt very imbalanced. John's issues felt very surface level and immature, while Jane seemed to focus on deeply concerning issues she saw and experienced throughout their time together, making it hard for me to take both seriously. Which kind of ruined some of the potential payoffs I perceived the show to be aiming for.
Interesting.
That's it.
Okay. I think I follow Stott's thoughts. I don't know that I 100% follow.
He initially said hashtag justice for Jane.
Okay.
Which is kind of his way of saying, like, she got shafted narratively, maybe.
Okay.
Because the last episode kind of sides with Donald Glover's character, John.
Right.
Yeah.
I did feel like the way it was written was like her issues were more deep-seated.
Mm.
And I think, so I'm going to go a little bit therapist here.
Yeah.
With some qualifiers.
Yeah.
Which is, A, I don't do couples or marriage therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm technically qualified to do it, but mm-hmm. I don't for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think maybe later in life I will.
Yeah.
So there's that. And B, I looked at a lot of this through the lens of attachment theory,
mm-hmm.
Which I am not an expert in.
Mm-hmm.
I have like
sure.
a good enough understanding that I can sort of guide people through it, but yeah, there's all of that. And I think what I hear Stott's thoughts indicating is like, if you're not familiar with attachment theory, here's a very quick overview.
Yeah.
And John Vanderplug, who is a therapist, will probably be like, that's really incomplete. So
he'll probably also say, I'm a school psychologist, not a therapist.
Yeah, something pretentious like that.
John and Brian, they grew up together.
We did.
They went to high school together.
Yeah. Well, anybody so. Who's listening to this and is an expert in this is going to, like,
yeah.
just roll over and
yeah.
shake their eyes. But I do feel attachment theory is, like, making its way into the popular culture. And, like, uh-huh. I think a lot of people at least know that term.
Yeah.
So, so your style of attachment forms in very early childhood, like when you're a baby. And it all depends on how your primary caregiver or caregivers interact with you. And so if they're attentive, and give you like the proper type of love and care and respond to your needs. So when a baby cries, mm-hmm. if the parent approaches them and soothes them in a proper manner, you'll develop a secure attachment.
Mm-hmm.
If the caregiver doesn't respond to you appropriately, you can develop one of three other types of attachment styles. So there's anxious,
mm-hmm.
And avoidant, and disorganized. Mm-hmm. Anxious attachment styles tend to manifest in adult relationships as like clingy or very needy. They go all in on relationships really fast, can be a little bit like overwhelming, and then can get really crushed when it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Avoidant are more at arm's length. They can get attached, but then as soon as it gets serious, they push away. They create problems
yeah.
because they're afraid.
And that was because of when they were baby, potentially, mm-hmm. they're avoidant because their parents avoided them?
Because their parents weren't trustworthy and consistent.
Gotcha.
So they have trouble trusting
mm-hmm.
Intimate relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then disorganized is just really chaotic. These are often like, if you were abused as a child, they can be really clingy towards other people and avoidant towards others. It's a little all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I think one other note on attachment theory is like people love to self-diagnose.
Yeah.
And people love to point out others, and they way over-diagnose avoidant and anxious and disorganized. Where most of the population, I think it's like around 70%, have a secure attachment.
That's good to know.
Yeah, most people have a secure attachment and are fine. You may still struggle in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like you might be a bad communicator, but have a secure attachment
mm-hmm.
style. So I think people tend to really quickly go, well, I have an anxious attachment style, and that's
mm-hmm.
why. No, you might just need to work on communicating.
Gotcha.
That yeah. may be true, but it's not for everybody. So all of that, I looked at this through the lens of like, I do think in this, whether intentionally or not, I see Jane as having an avoidant attachment style, mm-hmm. And really struggles with trust and to get close, and like mm-hmm. that's part of the like controlling mm-hmm. and things like that. And I think she's really trying. Mm-hmm. I think John could have an anxious attachment style, but I think he's secure based on what we know about his relationship with his mother.
His mom seems like super chill, super cool.
Yeah.
But that's just how she's portrayed. We don't know how she was when he was growing up with her.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Which in some ways is almost worse for John. And I think what Stott's thoughts is getting at, saying it as much as possible.
Love it.
is that like, he's just like, not a good communicator.
Mm.
Like he struggles mm-hmm. to meet her needs and to understand why she is the way she is,
mm-hmm.
And doesn't listen well. But her issues seem to be more rooted in her childhood mm-hmm. and like big things.
Mm-hmm. I just want to take a brief pause and give anybody who happened to not watch the show a synopsis of the show.
Mm-hmm.
John and Jane are paired together as spies/assassins who are working for a company which they call Hi Hi, because that's their colloquialism for this company, because that's how they always greet them. And they have fake names, so they're not actually called John and Jane. They are told to get rid of their whole personal life and dedicate themselves to all of these different missions. And pretty much they are married, quote unquote, together because that helps them be better spies, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
And so they live together, they work together, and the whole show pretty much operates as a metaphor for if you had to work together all the time with your wife, and if you had to live with them also, how would that work? So there's a lot of fun little twists to the relationship genre, and they go to therapy at one point. And this is kind of a very pivotal episode because they have to pretend they're software engineers and they like work on computers. But it's a funny episode where you get flashbacks to what mission they just went on, and they have like 3 or 4 weeks of therapy. And it's just entertaining and insightful and well-acted, well-directed. And a lot of the crew seems to be from the TV show Atlanta. A lot of the directors, I think his name's Hero something. And Stephen Glover, who helped with Atlanta, I think, and Donald Glover and their brothers wrote some of the episodes. There's a bunch of different writers, but... really well written, I think, overall.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coming in expecting it to be marriage Reacher, you know, you're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because it's going in a different direction. It's kind of using the framework of spy work as just a way to explore this interesting relationship.
Yeah.
So that's why we're talking about therapy and attachment theory, right? Because the show is directly facing all of that stuff.
Yeah, it sort of bills itself as like an action show, and there's lots of action in it.
Yeah.
But it's mostly about like, what if we stuck these two people together?
Yeah.
And they gave it a shot.
Uh-huh.
You know, what would happen?
And it's delightful because Maya Erskine, I think I'm saying her name right, I know her from Pen 15, which is a really funny show. And I know Donald Glover from a bunch of different stuff, but their energy and rapport and banter is excellent. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's believable. And I feel there's a lack of real believability when it comes to people meeting and dating and staying in a marriage.
Yeah.
So they did not prolong the will they, won't they in the show.
Uh-huh.
They got together pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think it's like the second episode.
Yeah, which is great because then you can explore what it's like to actually be, quote unquote, a married couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I think too, like, going back to Stott's thoughts.
Yeah. Scott's tots is what Scott's makes tots, you think.
I know, yes, it does.
Yeah.
I do think they did Maya Erskine and I don't know if this is on purpose, and they kind of name it in the show, but like Donald Glover's character is just more likable in my opinion. And she names like everybody likes you more. And it's true. He's kind of a Labrador. Like he's kind of fun. And he's pretty optimistic, and he's like goofy, where she's the like kind of go getter, get one done.
But that comes at the cost of the mission sometimes.
Yes.
Because he screws things up.
Yeah.
And so then I think the more logical people, maybe like Blake, feel as if, you know, she should get more credit for all the work she does. And that's the therapy episode. It's the crux of that is you're always lagging behind me, sometimes literally. Like he's running up steps, she's going up in an elevator, which is a good metaphor for the fact that the company wants her to level up, move up, and be better and do higher risk missions. And eventually that comes to the point where they want her to kill, spoilers, they want them to kill each other so that hopefully they can work with her instead of him. So it's almost like people in everyday life like John better, but the company likes Jane better. And I think John's more relatable because a lot of us can relate to falling short but being likable. You know?
Yeah. I get by on that a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of my friends was a teacher and now he works in administration, and he was like, I'm always late to things, but I think it's okay because I'm funny. Like, when I show up, I say self-deprecating jokes and people don't really care as much.
Get away with it.
But if you're annoying and late, oh man, you're stuck.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
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 So. I don't know. That's funny.
But did you overall enjoy the show, or do you have some critiques?
I did. Yeah, I did really like it, and I do think it was like an interesting exploration of two people that are like just so what's the word? They're not incompatible. Part of me is like, I think they can make it work, but they are really dysfunctional.
Yes, dysfunctional, like, might be a better word for
it. Non-communicative. Super dysfunctional. Yeah, and they seem to have like overlapping issues that it would be a lot of work, and compounded by the fact that they have any of these like insane things all the time.
Yes.
I think my favorite bit, and I could see other people not liking this, is they kind of just seem like regular folks.
I love that.
Being asked to do these crazy missions.
Yes.
And I'm like, they look like when they fight, it's a little like awkward. And when
I feel is more realistic.
Yes, way more realistic.
Yeah.
What I don't buy is how calm they all.
Oh,
calm
yeah.
Calm they are all the time in these missions. But they don't look like they have formal like combat training. And I kind of like that, where it's like, well, this probably isn't going to go well for them. And they're just like making it up as they go, right? Like in every other like spy movie, they have this very specific plan, and they know exactly what they're doing and gadgets. And they're like, okay, in this, they're like, we have to get a box. How are we going to get this box?
Yes.
And I really like that.
It's shown in the missions how they're normal people, but it's also shown in the little quiet moments. Like one of my favorite moments of the show is when Jane is in front of a mirror at like a gala or whatever, and she just makes this really weird face and noise, and she just goes like, and she can pull that off so well because she's a great actor, but it's also part of the direction and writing to leave that in the show and show us somebody being on their own. And kind of like, we've all had that moment where we make a really weird noise on our own, or we're driving and we're just like yelling or singing or talking to ourselves or like tapping. Like I was thinking about this recently. Can I annoy myself? And I don't really think so. Like I could tap over and over and over and over and over and over in the car and it doesn't annoy me. But the second somebody else does that, like maybe I could eventually annoy myself, but I'm the one doing it. So
I've never thought of that.
I haven't either. I just recently thought of that. But and then also, like, she, at one point when they're laying down together to go to bed, she's like, oh, I need to go get some snacks from a different train car. And he's like, you can just fart, like, yeah, you know, you don't have to hold it in.
Yeah.
And like, I think it shows those moments that other shows would avoid. Like, I'm sure Reacher doesn't have a farting moment.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like a bad show or anything. I haven't seen the show. I'm not dogging on it. But like, it's cool to see normal people try to be spies because it's entertaining because we haven't seen that before. Maybe other people have, but I haven't. And it's a cool way to explore a relationship because it's not like they mismarketed the show because there's some really cool action stuff. But, you know, Blake was saying he was a little bit disappointed by the show because he liked the mission stuff more than the relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was like, I like both of these, so I'm fully content.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
I'm content.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like the mission stuff was really ended up just being a vessel for the the relationship stuff, which is what they wanted to explore.
Yeah. Which I was okay with. But were you conflicted?
Oh, I am so much more interested in character development than plot.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's why I remember watching the show Lost.
Oh my god.
And if you watch Lost, the plot doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
There are whole things they just abandon.
Yes.
And it's just a mess.
Yes.
And I really liked it. Because they developed some of those characters so well.
Yeah.
That I was like, I don't care.
I stopped at season 4 when Desmond died.
Oh, I remember so little from that show other than just like vague impressions.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, the guy who played Merry in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Who's addicted to drugs. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not Desmond. His name was something else. I really loved Desmond, the guy in the boat who was an alcoholic. But I forget the other name. His name is something else. But
I remember almost nothing.
Yes. But that's a good point. I think we are similar in that way, where characters are a really big deal to us.
Mm.
And plot's great and good. And I like that the plot is there. Yeah. But sometimes
it should exist.
Yes, it should exist. But like Richard Linklater, he's made some what people coin as hangout movies.
Yeah.
So there's a movie, Dazed and Confused, that I have yet to see.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. With
early Matthew McConaughey.
Totally. Yes.
He's so
first
creepy.
Time he says, "Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Everybody Wants Some with 2 exclamation points, which has the son of Kurt Russell, guy who pops up and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like a bunch of college baseball boys hanging out. And like not a lot of stuff happens, but the characters are so fun that I am not mad at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why. I remember Star Wars Episode 8, the Rian Johnson.
Yeah, one. Last Jedi.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I liked
it. And I walked out and my friends hated it. And they pointed out all of the plot holes. And I was like, you're right, actually. Yeah, that didn't make any sense. That was actually complete nonsense. I was like, I just like the characters.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I'll completely overlook nonsense plot points if I like the characters enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to keep us on track a little bit, even though I agree The Last Jedi is worth watching, even if it's very frustrating from the plot point of view.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Just don't think about it.
Yes. But in the tradition of bringing other people's thoughts into this podcast, my brother Hudson said that what he liked about the show was that they're awkward like normal people are when they're first meeting and getting to know each other. And he said, I haven't finished it yet, but every mission seems to be equally them solving the objective and working out their relationship, which feels like getting double value.
Which is
cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate his insights, and I happen to agree with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't hear much of what you said because I was trying to think of a quippy way to say Hudson's.
Hudson Butson.
Yeah, Hudson's buds. Hud's buds. His little buds of thoughts.
Hud's buds.
Yeah, yeah. Not a drug reference.
When he finishes the show, they'll be fully grown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can only give us partially formed thoughts when they're not done yet.
Yeah, he has to tell us what he thinks halfway through.
Yeah, Hud's buds. That's nice.
But, I unfortunately need to keep this episode a little short, but... Do you have any other thoughts on the show?
No, I think my big three were I really appreciated how like kind of awkward and I don't, yeah, like not believable some of the action scenes were that I actually liked. Like when they're like hand-to-hand fighting, I'm like, nah, like you don't know what you're doing. You're making it up.
When they're shooting at each other and not hitting each other ever.
Yeah,
That's my
yeah.
one tiny little gripe with this show is that people do not get shot enough in this show. They get
Oh, yeah.
shot sometimes, but not enough.
And I would also say, yeah, it was this weird combination of like they were believably normal people, and the fact that they are just like running around New York City shooting and blowing stuff up. And I don't think they encounter the police like one time. Like, they should definitely have been arrested like so many times. They just burned down the therapist's
That's
house.
true. That's true.
And they are she sees them walking away normally.
Maybe the company somehow does cleanup on that and like helps
Yeah.
them avoid all of that because the company seems to be powerful in some way. But there's a few clever times where he's like, "That person's got a bomb," in the last
Yeah.
episode, and then everybody goes running,
Yeah.
and then they can escape the police that
Yeah.
way.
He's a
So,
very good liar. He comes up with like good lies on the spot. In the it also made me think, like a lot of the times when they need to get into some place they're not supposed to be, they just act confident. Like, no, I'm supposed to be here.
This is my
And I
mom.
was like, I feel like I could totally do that.
Oh,
Just
there's a whole
act.
subreddit on that.
Yeah, just
Acting
like
like you
acting.
belong.
Yep.
Wear a neon vest or something, or just
Yeah.
carry a ladder or a clipboard or something, and like wear a thing that looks like a uniform. I had
Yeah.
a friend who I did improv with him. He dressed up as a janitor guy and like had a box of like toilet paper and like I don't know, cleaning supplies.
Yeah.
He got into a concert, like a Lil Wayne concert for free,
That's
because
wild.
they just let him through.
Dang.
But you gotta have the confidence, because if you get caught, that sucks.
Yeah.
Then that's a bad day.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I
So
think
I think it's a good mix of like believability and disbelief, and I don't know. It's like a
yeah.
weird alternate universe
Yeah.
they're in.
And I will say I liked that the relationship there wasn't like an easy fix. It wasn't like, oh, if they just did this, then everything would be fine. Like it was properly complicated and messy.
Except when they took a truth serum.
Yeah. But I don't
Which
even that
was
didn't
fun.
even that was great. But it didn't really like fix it,
It
right?
definitely
Like
made
it.
it better. And if they weren't getting shot at or like trying to get killed or trying, they were attacked by these other people, then they probably would
Yeah.
have gotten back together. But I agree with you in the sense that they probably would have gone back into their old rhythms. And even though they had these revelations,
Yeah.
their dynamic is flawed.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting. I don't know. Is there gonna be a
I
season
want to be
two?
a season two,
Yeah.
and Anna was like, "Oh, they're dead." But I think it's ambiguous
Yeah.
on purpose, obviously.
Yep.
And then Anna was saying maybe it's an anthology show where these two actors won't come back.
But it's a
It's
different
different Mr. and Mrs.
couple in the
Smith,
next
like
one.
Fargo or something like
That'd be
that,
kind of fun.
which I would be okay with.
Yeah.
But also kind of sad because I really like their dynamic. And I think if they could come back, I would be so on board
Yeah.
with the two of them
Yeah.
doing a season two.
It feels like there's a lot more. Like we never even find out who Hi Hi is. Like the person giving them instructions. You never figured out. We don't even know what the company
But I'm
is.
so glad that it wasn't Paul Dano. It wasn't the
Oh,
neighbor. Because he was just a
yeah.
weirdo
Yep. I
real
thought
estate agent or like realtor.
it was a good mislead.
He was awesome in the show
He
because
was
he was a
good.
red herring. It was
I also
great.
don't get the like he's the hot neighbor. Like
Yeah,
it's Paul
what?
Dano.
I
Like
agree. Like
come on.
maybe his personality is doing a lot of the work, but like
Yeah.
he, even though I don't think he's ugly, he's not hot to
Yeah.
me.
Paul Dano, I mean beauty's subjective, but not Paul Dano. That's not
We're gonna get
subjective.
comments, our first comments,
Football. I
first
don't think he's
email.
like, you know, I'm not throwing up looking at him,
No,
but
but he played the Riddler and, you know, for a
yeah.
good reason,
Yeah,
maybe.
that was just an interesting I mean, Donald Glover or
Paul Dano? Yeah, that's
Picking Donald Glover.
Yes, like, every time.
Yeah.
He was looking good the whole season.
Yeah, he looked great.
Yeah. And I liked that his choice of fashion was to his detriment in the last episode. He was just all in white. And I'm like, yeah, don't be a spy if you're going to dress in all white.
Yeah, that's no good.
Even on your off days. But, yeah, I loved the last episode a lot because they were trying to kill each other, and then they were really concerned when the other got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, when he got hit by a car, she was like, should I help? You know, like, is he okay? And I love that dynamic.
I did like that.
Yeah.
It's good.
So, overall, big recommendation from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you give it... I've never asked you this before, but what out of 10 would you give it?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Is 5... like actual middle.
Actual average is 5.
Is 5. Okay. Yeah. So like my average show. I'd give it like a 6.5.
Wow. That's exactly what Blake gave it.
Wow.
From Stotts Thoughts.
Stotts.
Yeah.
Man, what good thoughts.
Yeah. For me, I'd give it like an 8.5 because every episode I was like, this is awesome. It's what I want. It's well shot. It's well written. It's well acted.
Yeah.
And it's got a unique vision and maybe even a 9 or 9.5. Like, I was all in on this show. Because Atlanta's fun and weird, and I like that a lot. But the plot, I'm not quite as invested.
Yeah.
And I love a show that just keeps its cast of characters down to, like, 2 or 3 people so that I can really focus in on them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there was a ton of really great cameos. But I think Atlanta sometimes lost me, but... I still love that show. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
But, yeah.
We're doing music?
Sure. Let's do it.
What are you listening to?
Kind of nothing. Oh, except La La Land, because Anna and I might do a La La Land episode. Yeah.
Dang.
And we might, like, go through Whiplash, La La Land, and First Man, because she has not seen Whiplash or La La Land. Or First Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whiplash was great.
Yeah. It's Whiplash. Excellent. So nice. Good. Yeah. How about you?
I know I'm like way behind on this, but I'm not like a huge Sufjan Stevens fan, but I just started listening to Javelin.
What? What's Javelin?
Isn't that his newest album?
Dude, I have not listened to that yet.
What?
Yeah.
All right, you're more behind than me.
I am.
Which is crazy. Usually, like, I will discover albums and be like, this is great. And then it's like, this is from 2006.
Like, which is fine, but... Wait, okay, so his...
Yeah, it's
wow. What do you think of it?
It's good.
I have not really listened to it.
Yeah, it'll make you cry for sure.
Great, because some of his stuff was weird and experimental, and to be honest, I wasn't really on board with that. So that's why I didn't hop on a Javelin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... Yeah, I've probably listened to all of his songs once, but I'm not like a keep going back to Sufjan person, but it's a good album.
That is John's favorite artist, probably.
Man.
Yeah.
You should just have him.
I should,
I'll text you my thoughts. Yeah.
Yes, we can get John's thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. I might add a little intro plugging our Instagram. And our Instagram is at WaveFramePod. And my Instagram is ip.devore. And thanks for listening.
Thank you.